Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
Psalm 84:2. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Genesis 46, verse 26, all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Feed your soul, protect your soul, obey ones that watch for your souls. One might speak of his soul and yet not have one bit of biblical evidence for what he says. One might ask, must we go to the Greek and Hebrew writings to find the true interpretation of the word soul? The King James Bible has much information about the soul. You can learn more about the soul of a man by reading verses in the King James Bible in their contexts than by reading some Greek or Hebrew dictionary. It seems that in 1901, Mr. Duncan McDougall wished to determine if the soul had weight. The entire beds of patients that seemed to have been near death were placed on an industrial-sized scale. 6 patients were used with varying results. 1 patient died and lost about 21 grams, or about the weight of 21 medium-sized paper clips. Mr. McDougall's finding was condemned, and even he seemed to think that it was inconclusive. Later, the same man measured the weights of 15 dogs before and after death. He concluded that there were no changes and that dogs had no souls. He might have actually poisoned 15 dogs for convenience in his attempt to find out if there was a change in the weights before and after death. Should one search the greatest secular libraries of the world in order to find facts about the soul of a man? I suggest that you search the greatest library. It is small, only 66 books, and can be bound into one book, but it is the best. It is even the perfect library, and it teaches much about the soul of a man. Should millions and millions of dollars be spent to do experiments to find out about the soul of a man? Why not read the absolutely accurate statements found in the Bible about the soul? The soul of a man can be vexed, can faint, can be knit with the soul of another, can thirst for God, can be cast down and disquieted, can be converted, can be restored, can be humbled and chastened, can praise the Lord, can be kept from unnecessary troubles, and can be anchored. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20, wherein God willing more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I believe that after the death and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he took his own blood within the veil and applied his own blood to the heavenly mercy seat. He is the heavenly high priest, and I believe he applied his own blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, to the heavenly mercy seat. My soul is secured within the veil. There's a great advantage for the soul to be anchored in heaven and bound by the Word of God. If an anchor for a ship is anchored below, if waves become high enough and violent enough, the ship might fill with water. If one has his soul anchored to the things of this life, and a great storm comes, his soul might be swamped. Since my soul is anchored above, my soul can rise with the waves. My anchor will not drag me down. My hope is sure. My hope is secured above. My hope was settled by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then consider the soul can prosper. 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Would you want someone to wish that for you? Would you want someone to pray that way for you? Would you want someone to pray that above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers? If that prayer was prayed and answered by God for many, would a great percentage of those go about sick? The soul, by the grace of God, can prosper. The next verse, verse 3 says, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Consider a few things. First of all, soul prosperity is more important than physical, financial, or material prosperity. Many times, people are in pursuit of some other kind of prosperity to the neglect of their own souls. Many a man has lost his own soul. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his own soul? Is your soul unnecessarily vexed by your pursuit of material prosperity or any other kind of prosperity? Forsaking and confessing sin is good for the soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says, Because sentence against an evil work was not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. In that three-part breakdown of a man, the heart is part of the soul. And this heart condition is bad for the soul. Proverbs 28, verse 13, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. The man that covers his sins might temporarily prosper financially and physically and materially, but he shall not prosper spiritually. It is good for the saved man's soul to walk in truth. It is not good for the saved man's soul to walk in sin. Are your activities and the pursuit of your ambitions searing your conscience? Are they corrupting your mind and causing you unnecessary emotional stress? Have you purposed in your heart to do God's will regardless of the cost? Or have you purposed in your heart to reach your earthly ambitions even if it cost you the loss of fellowship with God and heavenly rewards? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel might have counted the cost. He might have thought to himself, this might cost me a place in the king's program. There was a special program, as it might be said, that a select group of Israelites had been chosen to be in. Daniel might have thought, will I face the king's wrath? Daniel might have thought, will I be punished or even killed? Two very important things were at stake. Number one, Daniel's relationship with God. And number two, Daniel's testimony before men. And then consider, walking in truth is good for the soul. It is good for the mental and emotional well-being of a man to walk in the truth. 1 Timothy 6, verses 5 through 10, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 8 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness should be the one goal of the believer. Any other goal should be subservient to that goal, and if it cannot be subservient to that goal, then it should be done away with. Godliness should be the one goal for the believer. Contentment is a state of the soul. Godliness and contentment is great gain. It is a very profitable way to live, to have godliness and contentment. It is profitable in this life. It shall be profitable in the life to come. Physical prosperity can be good, but soul prosperity is better. All of our souls could be better. As we study the Word of God and submit to the Word of God, our minds can be bettered. Our emotions can be better. Our consciences can become more sensitive. Our purposes can change for the better. The book of Ecclesiastes is interesting in that it reveals some of the thoughts of a man whose soul was being exercised. Ecclesiastes 1:13, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Have you been getting your soul exercised lately? Have you faced things that were outward that have caused your mind and emotions to be exercised? Are you sore, so to speak, because you have been mentally and emotionally exercised in ways that you are not accustomed to? The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes stated that his heart rejoiced in all his labor, but then he stated, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. But Jesus said this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Our souls should rest in the Lord.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.